And in the book of the Psalms, we're turning to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. And it was amazing last night. It was actually referred to, this was quoted a number of times actually last night, a part of this psalm. And it is found in Psalm 126. And I want you to open your Bibles here and follow us in the reading of God's precious and God's infallible word. And we'll start at verse number 1, Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that going forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word that we've read. We pray that our God, that thou will remind each and every one of us just the little time we have. Only one short life to live. I must not withhold it from God. And I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will help me, Lord, just to minister thy word now. Give me the power I need to proclaim the precious and fallible truth of thee, the living God. And we pray that our God, that you'll speak to all of our hearts concerning the things that really matter, that really count, the things that are eternal. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now this Psalm 126, I want us to look at it this morning. You'll find that it is one of the Psalms that is known as the Psalms of Degrees. You'll find that there are 15 of them altogether, from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. And these Psalms were Psalms that were sung, because as the Jewish believers were traveling up to Jerusalem, or the Jewish pilgrims were going to Jerusalem for the various festivals at Jerusalem, they would stop off at different places and they would sing a psalm. And one of those psalms was Psalm 126. It was one of the songs of degrees. You'll see that written at the title in your Bible. And of course, you notice no matter where you came from in Israel, to go to the temple, you had to go up. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up unto the house of the Lord. And that was, no matter where you were, you had to go up to the city of Jerusalem. And as they moved along the journey, they would sing. Of course, we sing a hymn, I'm pressing on the upward way. And friend, you and I are on a journey today. Just as the pilgrims were on a journey to Jerusalem, so you and I are on a journey from time to eternity. We don't know when the journey is going to end. Yes, we have been told when the journey started, but we don't know when the journey of this life is going to end. But we're pressing on along that road. And of course, the only thing that matters is you know where the journey will end, because you're ready for heaven and for home. I want you to notice, as you look at the psalm, first of all, you see they're rejoicing, because it opens this: when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, our tongues were singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us. We're off with our glad. And here we find the cause for rejoicing. You see, for 70 years, the children of Israel were in bondage in Babylon. And when they were down there in Babylon, they were invited to sing one of the Lord's songs. And they said, how can we sing the Lord's songs in a strange land? But now God has brought his people back. They're no longer in Babylon. And many of them have returned to Jerusalem.
And as they settle back into Jerusalem and the temple is built, and we find the houses are built and the worship of God is once again going forth in Jerusalem, the ungodly around them said this, "The Lord hath done great things for them." And as others looked on, they could see what God had done for his people. And then God's people said, "The Lord hath done great things for us. We're off, we're glad." And there was the cause of rejoicing. It's what God had done for and among his people. And surely as you look back at the anniversary, the 13th anniversary of the building of this church, you look back over the years and remember the time in the wee hall, and now in this beautiful church. And those around could say, "Listen, the Lord has done great things for those folks up there. Look what God has done. How God has added to the congregation there." And you can say, "The Lord hath done great things for us. We're off, we're glad." But notice, it was acknowledged, it was the Lord that did it. And we should never forget, friend, that everything we have is from God. You know, sometimes people have the awful attitude of saying, "That's mine." And to be honest, there's nothing yours. Because you only lent it for a little while. But the Lord hath done. It is the Lord's. And this is the Lord's work. And this is the Lord's flock. And this is the Lord's house. That's what it's called. It's the Lord's house. And surely you can say, "The Lord hath done great things for us. We're off, we're glad." There's a cause for rejoicing today in what God has done. And never forget all the blessings that God has given you. Remember this. You're blessed today. Maybe you say to me, "Well, listen, hold on a second. If you knew the pains and you knew all that's going on in my body and all that's going on in my family and all that's going on in my life," let me tell you, friend, you're blessed. I have a sister who was a teacher for 43 years. And she had this attitude. She always said to the children in school and to the parents, whenever they start complaining and moaning, she said, "Let me tell you, you're blessed. When you're able to get up this morning and you're able to wash your face and you're able to clothe yourself and able to walk down the stairs and able to sit down at the table and able to eat your breakfast, you're blessed." But we take that all for granted, don't we? Because we expect it to happen until someday you can't do it. And then you wonder why. The Lord hath done great things for us. The God's people were rejoicing. There was a cause for rejoicing. It was what God had done for them. And if you're saved today, you have a cause for rejoicing. For your sins, which are many, have been blotted out, never to be remembered against you anymore. And you mightn't have much in this world's good, friend, but remember this. If you have a soul that is saved and you're bound for heaven and home, you're blessed. I sing a wee chorus sometimes. We are blessed every day of our lives. We are blessed from we wake up in the morning to we lay our heads to rest. We are blessed, richly blessed. Have you counted your blessings? Count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. There was the cause for rejoicing. But then notice if you go on to verse number 4, there's a call for reviving. "Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south." You see, they were realized that there were still others that were in bondage. There was still greater work to be done. Yes, they rejoiced in what God had done, but that put in their hearts a longing, a desire for more. And whenever you look back over the years and see what God has done here in Analong, does that not give you a desire and a longing for more? More of God, more of His blessing, more of His presence, more of His power. It says, "Lord, turn again our captivity, O Lord." Oh God, do it again. The older folks that remember the early days in the free church, remember the days of movement of the Spirit of God when souls were getting saved every weekend. Missions were being held and men and women were coming from near and far. Let me tell you, it didn't matter about the weather. It didn't matter about even the work. You wanted to be among the people of God. You had a desire, you had a zeal in your heart to be among the people of God. And whenever another congregation was opening and maybe they were cutting their sod for a new building, you bust yourself or you got into the car and you made your way there and everybody rejoiced together. Because God was working, God was moving. Friends, surely there's a desire in our heart that God would do it again. Alas, we live in a day when there's not that great movement that we used to see. Sad to say, there's an indifference even among the people of God. They don't seem to have a burden even for the house of God. When it comes to a gospel evening service and the Lord's Day, many of God's people are not found. Where they're found, I don't know. But not found among the people of God. Friend, that was not how it used to be. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto us, let us go into the house of God. Friend, let me tell you, you long for God's house. You long for the meeting. My, you couldn't wait to get to it. There was such a desire in your heart for more and more and more. You had a hunger, you had a thirst after God and after His Word and after the fellowship of God's people. Now in many places today, they rush in and rush out. Having time for fellowship. Sad to say, little desire for fellowship. There's something wrong. And here the psalmist, as he thinks of what God has done in the past, he says, turn again, O God. God, do it again. And that's my prayer earnestly for Ulster, that God will do it again. That God will bring back the days of revival. That God will bring back of the days of a spiritual awakening in our land and in our nation. Because our land's barren and dry today. And few there are who seem to care, and few there be to pray. Oh God, touch my heart. God, touch my life. And give me a desire for souls each day. Is that what it is in your heart today? Have you that longing for God, friend? Do you rejoice that this is the Lord's day? That you're able to come to God's house, that you're able to come to gather round the Word of God, that you're here to sing the praises of the Lord, that you're here to listen to the reading of God's Word, you're here to meditate upon God's truth and then take it and go home and live it out this week and live it before your neighbors and your community to live Christ. Excited about the things of God. Have you lost the excitement? Be honest. Be honest with your soul. Have you lost the excitement of what it is? Have you lost the joy of the Lord? You know what the Bible says in the book of Nehemiah? The joy of the Lord is your strength. How strong are you this morning? I know there's a lot of burdens. I know there's a lot of problems. I know there's a lot of cares. I know that there's financial problems. I know there's family problems. I know, friend, listen, as far as the uncertainty for the future in our nation, there are concerns. But let me tell you, there's nothing too big for God. There's nothing in it too big for God. He's still on the throne. Somebody asked in 9/11, where was God in 9/11? Friend, I'll tell you where He was. Where He is today, on the throne. He's still the same. You see, I sang, the God in the mountain is the same God as the God in the valley. He doesn't change. And your circumstances may change, and the situations you may face changes, but God doesn't change. And friend, trust Him. A brother quoted a little verse before we started the prayer meeting this morning, a hymn I used to sing. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. If I never had a problem, I'd never know that Christ could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God can really do, but through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. And when everything else has gone, friend, and everyone else has forsaken me, when I'm still the Lord, thank God I have everything. He's all I need. My hope is found in nothing less than Jesus' blood, His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. Other ground is sinking sand. And when your life and your heart and your soul is built on Jesus Christ, friend, you'll never sink. You'll never sink. But thank God your feet's upon the solid rock. And 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, or 4 says, and that rock is Christ. That rock's Christ. So we see here a call for reviving. Oh God, turn again. God, do it again. And I trust that God will put that burden upon the hearts of His people here not alone. That God will come again to His people. That God will revive His church. That God will stir our hearts, that God will give us back the excitement and the love for the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what we have to face. That when we face it with Him, thank God we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. There's a cause for rejoicing. There's a call for reviving. But the one I want us to look at finally is this, the condition for reaping. If you look there in the last two verses, it said this, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I know there are many of God's people today, and they're discouraged. I know many of God's people are downhearted. They feel that. How many people have said to me, preacher, it's lost. Those days are never coming back. Tell me, friend, where's God in that statement? Where's God in that? Has God changed? Has God lost His power? Is God not able? Can we not see those days of stirring again? Can we not see those days of reaping again? But here's the price that has got to be paid. Look at verse number 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with the rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Very quickly, I want to take that little verse. And here's the price to pay. First of all, there's the going. Notice this. He that goeth forth. He that goeth forth. And the picture there is the farmer in the olden days with a long bag over his shoulder, and it was filled with seed. And would walk into the plot of ground that he had. It wasn't a great big plot of ground. It wasn't the acres that we have today. But this was precious ground to this farmer because it was his that God had given him. It was his heritage. And he put that bag on his shoulder in the morning and he went out, friend, and he was carrying a bag of seed. And he went forth, and as he went forth, he would spread the seed. Spread the seed. He that goeth forth. The word there is going to and fro. And he went to and fro, scattering precious seed. But he had to go. Could he expect a harvest if he said, what's the use? Oh, I give up. Nothing's happening. There's nothing really working. The work's too hard, it's too difficult. My, it's not as it used to be. I heard of what it used to be back in those bygone days, but my, the work's not the same as it used to be. And so he sits in the corner and he doesn't do anything. He doesn't lift up the bag. Will he get the harvest? No, he won't. He's got to go. And brethren and sisters, if you want to see a work done on Anna Long, you've got to get up, brethren. You've got to get up, sisters, and you've got to go forth and carry the seed to the people of this community. And you're to scatter the seed everywhere you go. What was the commission to his disciples? Jesus says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, or make disciples of all nations. And the word there is, as you are going, make disciples. They have to get up and do something. We live in an age that everybody wants to sit on their plate. They don't want to do anything, but they expect everything. We live in a day and an age, listen, everybody knows, my friend, their rights. But they don't know their responsibilities. It's responsibilities as well as rights. But nobody wants to know about the responsibility. They just want to know their rights. And many of God's people have got to the place. They're so discouraged. They're so depressed. They're so downcast because there's nothing happened as it used to. And they say, brother, what's the use? Well, brother, you'll never get anything done if you don't get up. And you've got to energize yourselves and be empowered by the Spirit of God and get up and go. Go and reach them. When I went to Macrofelt 50 years ago, let me tell you this. When I went the first Sunday morning, we had 12 people. And I remember looking around and says, the Lord had 12 people around him. And there was one in Judas that says, if I could find who Judas is, I'd get rid of him. But let me tell you, friend, we started with 12. I tell you, people say we started in a little wooden hall, Mr. Beggs's wee hall. There were no windows in it, just wee flaps. You didn't need the wee flaps to let the air in because it was up on blocks. And there's enough wind coming through the floorboards that you didn't need to open the windows to let the air in. And people laughed at us. And then he needed the wee hall, and we had to build a corrugated iron building. We built our wee building. We thought it was a wee palace, but people laughed at it. They called it the wooden hut. Called it the hen house. I says a lot of hen farmers would love it. Hens were doing as well as the wee hut was doing. They mocked and they laughed. But let me tell you, we kept going. There were no fancy entrance in. Let me tell you, there was a wee hole cut in the hedge. And you put a few blocks down and you walked in over it. And you walked into a corrugated and there was gas there, and sometimes the gas, it wouldn't work. And you were sitting. Did people stop? No, friend, they didn't. They had a cause. They had a burden for their community and a longing to see men and women won for Jesus Christ, and God had given them liberty and freedom from the apostasy. They were glad to come to a place that was preaching the old-fashioned gospel. They had a stir in their hearts. They had a longing in their souls for more of God. And so they got up and people laughed at them. They didn't care. Because they had a cause. Isn't that what David said? Whenever he was going out to face Goliath and people laughed at him, he said, see, you're only stripping of a young lad. You know, you're wasting it. He says, is there not a cause? They're mocking the God of Israel. Is there not a cause? And friend, in those early days, men and women went up. Yes, and they went out after souls. They went. You went and invited them. The word of God, the Lord Jesus says, go out into the highways and go out into the byways and compel them to come in that my house might be filled. People say, well, if they want to come, the door's open. There's not the same urgency. Not the same love. Compassion. People are discouraged. I'm told about a missionary or a man who went to Africa. Actually, he was representing a shoe. factory. He went to Africa. And after 1 month, he resigned because he saw that people didn't wear shoes. He says, I'm wasting my time. The firm sent out another lad to the same place, to the same city, to the same land of Africa. And after 2 weeks, he sent a message home to the firm. He says, send more shoes. Prospects everywhere. See the difference in attitude? One boy saw nobody wear shoes. Well, listen, couldn't they? Couldn't he wear them? But he wasn't willing to get up and go after them. And men and women, that's my earnest prayer and my earnest desire, that God will put back into our congregations and to our people the desire to go after. He that goeth forth. There's the going. Very quickly. Secondly, notice the groaning. For he that goeth forth and weepeth. And weepeth. Verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And I see that old weather-faced farmer. And he gathers up his wee bag and he puts it over his shoulder. And he's carrying that seed out into his wee plot of ground. And as he goes and he scatters the seed. And as I see the seed going into the ground, I see running down his cheek a tear. And the tear falls in the ground and waters the seed. Tell me, what's he crying for? Because there's a burden for a harvest. He longs for a harvest. There's so much relying upon the harvest. For if there's no harvest, what will he feed his family on? How will they live? And so as he goes forth, he scatters the seed with a burden. Tell me, have you a burden for souls of Anna Long? Let me tell you, I remember in the early days when I went to that hall in Macrofell. I remember some of the prayer meetings in the wee back room of that tent hut. And men and women, fathers and mothers, were praying for their children. They were out in sin. And as they were praying, their hearts were breaking. And many times they broke down in tears. They cried for their children. Oh God, save my child. Don't let them go to hell. But let me ask you a question, friend. You have loved ones that are traveling to eternity today. Maybe children. Maybe parents. Maybe friends. And they're going to hell. When was the last time you shed a tear? When was the last time your heart was so broken before God, friend, you couldn't say the last line of the sentence? But God knew what was in the heart. You know what the psalmist says? Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? And God sees the tears of his people, but also God sees the lack of tears. Few there are who seem to care. And few there are who really pray. Oh God, touch my heart. God, fill my life. But oh God, give me souls each day. It says in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and the Lord added unto the church daily such as were being saved. And friend, that's what it used to be. People were getting saved, meeting after meeting. You know, in the days of revival, that's why they used to sing that hymn, "Watch the News, Watch the News." Because it was wanting to hear who got saved, who got saved. He that goeth forth and weepeth. You know, General Booth of the Salvation Army, old General Booth, one of his workers were out in the field and there was a little progress was happening, and he sent a letter back to the old general who was coming to the end of his life. And he sent the letter to the general to get a word of advice. What would the general say? Because the morale was so low, it was at rock bottom, and he sent the telegram. And Booth sent back a letter, two words in it. Try tears. Try tears. I'm not talking about emotionalism. I'm not talking about false tears. I'm talking with a broken heart. For the Bible says, a broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise. God will not reject it. He that goeth forth and weepeth. William Burns was used of God in revival, working Mary McShane's parish and then later in China. And one day he was going down the streets of Glasgow, and his mother went into a shop, and she came out, she saw him sitting there, and he was sitting crying. She says, "William, what's wrong, son? What's wrong?" He says, "Mother, Mother, do you not hear them?" "Hear what, son?" He says, "I am weeping at the sight of the multitudes in the streets, so many of whom are passing through life unseen. Do you not hear the countless feet going down to hell?" And it broke his heart. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, there's the giving. That's what you have to give, friend, is precious seed. It's the Word of God. You know, that precious is a lovely little study in the Bible. Precious faith. Precious promise. Precious Savior. Precious blood. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his sins. Here it is, precious seed. Let me tell you, friend, it's precious. It's incorruptible. Thank God the Word of God liveth and abideth forever, though heaven and earth may pass away. You know what God's asking you to scatter around and along? He's wanting you to carry his precious seed. And as you go, friend, leave a trail of gospel seed. Maybe it's a gospel tract. Maybe it's just a little word that you've got to give, but carry his precious seed. Here's the last thing we've got to finish. There's the garnering. Shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Notice, doubtless come again. Your labor will not be in vain in the Lord. You may not see the work done. Maybe you'll not know about it until you get to heaven. But I want to tell you, friend, God will honor his word. My word shall not return unto me void. I was giving my testimony in Rathfriend a few weeks ago. A man met me at the door as I was walking in to that church to give him a testimony. And he said to me, "Mr. McRae, years ago," he said, "in one of your evenings of prayers," he says, "I could see it. I never knew it." And he's now nearly 70 years of age. We mightn't see it, but God's word will not return void. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, My, what a joy to meet somebody in heaven on the streets of glory and to rejoice together that God used a wee word from you, a gospel tract you gave, a gospel invitation you gave, an invitation to a gospel service or a mission. And through it, that person got saved. Ah, you're a part of the chain. You're a link in the chain. Shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. An old preacher visited one of his congregation with us. I'm through. He visited an old member of his congregation who was dying. He went in to see him and he said, well, friend, how are you? He said, you know, preacher, I'm not afraid to die. But he says, I'm ashamed to die. He says, what do you mean? He says, I'm not afraid to die because I'm saved. I know my soul saved. But you know, God put me here in this earth to reach others. And I haven't won one for him. I'm ashamed. Listen to me carefully. Only one life, friend. That's all you've got. Only one life. And it will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. And when you're carried down the road, and maybe some of those that are walking after you will say, what did he leave? I'll tell you, he leave all. But I wonder what God sees. What was your life all about? Money? You have to leave it. House? Somebody else will occupy it. And you stand before him. What you've got to offer, friend? Empty hands. Shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Bringing in the sheaves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word. And we pray that even this morning, that you'll touch the hearts of your children. Oh God, revive us again. Stir hearts afresh. Turn the hearts of this congregation, Lord, to thee. And may there be the earnest desire, earnest cry of a broken heart. Lord, do it again. Revive us. Revive me again.